This life is not built from magic stones or wishing wells. It is the very core of who you are. This show will reawaken you to what you have been born to discover. Our truths are not based on our experiences. It is based on our coming of age and true awareness of all that we have living on the inside of us. Welcome to Another Intentional.
Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
I'm glad you've joined me today. I'm always glad to have you as our listening audience here for our faith-based Out Loud radio broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A week ago, we started a message, and we've done part one of this two-part series, Is It True Love? From that message, we began to help people to understand, to empower you to understand what true love really is. We discovered through our teaching and from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 1 John that God is love. And in order to discover true love, which every man and every woman is on a quest seeking that true love, we've discovered that the only way to really know true love is to have a relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is love. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. How many of us have been looking for love in all of the wrong places? And we're always seeking someone else to fill the void. And when we look for our fulfillment in another person, we come up empty, void, disillusioned, and yes, even depressed. Because we spend so many years trying to find the right man, trying to find the right woman. And we search everywhere, online, offline. We look for people to make us happy. And it's not working. See, because happiness is not something that happens because you find someone else. Happiness is something that happens because you have discovered who you are and the true essence of who you are that can only come from God Himself, the love Himself. Oh, I know we say him, but God is neither male nor female. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There are stories upon stories upon stories about people who sold everything they had and moved to another city, another village, another country even, in search of love, or thinking that they had discovered the love of their lives online. And when they arrived, they found out that it was a totally different story. It was different than what was presented to them in a letter or in an email. And now they're disillusioned. These stories are true. And people are being hurt because they do not know how to find the source of love. Interestingly enough, what we are looking for has been on the inside of us all along. We've been looking for love. We've been looking for happiness. We've been looking for fulfillment. We've been looking for just that fit. And it's been right on the inside of us. You see, when God sent Jesus to this earth, it was because he loved us so much. I personalize John 3:16 that reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." I read it this way, "For God so loved Faye that he sent Jesus to die for me." It was love that motivated love. It was love that released himself to be robed in a body. It was love that motivated God to do what he has done. You see, he no longer wanted man to be without him or walking outside of him or have a lack of awareness about the presence of God in the earth. In Genesis, we read where man walked with God in the garden. And in Genesis 3, when man began to receive another word, the serpent began to hear another word, he stopped fellowshipping with God. He became aware of something God never intended him to be aware of, and that was good and evil. God only wanted man to be aware of good, because love is good, and love is good all of the time. He only wanted man to know the goodness of God, the love of God. After all, when you are filled to the full, to the overflow, with all that God is, then why would you need anything else? Now, that doesn't mean that God did not design you to marry, or us to marry, or to be in fellowship with one another. But he did design us to know what it meant that even if other people do not recognize your worth and your value, that he does. And he put a plan in place from Genesis chapter 3 so that we would be redeemed. Redeemed is a purchase word, to buy us back. And he also put another word into place that would be reconciliation, to bring us back. And the only way he could do that was to bring himself and be God incarnate. Jesus Christ was God incarnate. It was God robed in flesh. He came through his son Jesus to manifest love in the earth. And I personally believe we have missed the big picture. We have focused on trying to achieve the feeling of love from outside, and that is not where he is. God is on the inside, working through us to manifest himself on the outside. He redeemed us. He bought us back. He reconciled us. He brought us back to the position that we can have this wonderful relationship with him through Jesus Christ, being the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And as we have this relationship with truth, we also have this relationship with love. And love begins to swallow us up, begin to engulf us in such a way that we don't feel as though we're missing anything. We don't feel as though we are without anything. Married or unmarried, you will feel whole from within when you tap into true love. It is wonderful to wake up in the morning and realize you're not missing anything from within. And that regardless of what goes on in your life, your everyday waking, walking, talking lives, you are in the position of having God manifest himself in and through you every day of your life, because Christ is in us. When God sent Jesus, he did not send him just so that he could only die on the cross. He sent him because the way to salvation, the way to our deliverance, he had to shed his blood. So it wasn't just a historical moment. It was a revelation. It was a revolution. Because when Jesus, who is love, put himself on the cross because he said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I'm able to raise it up again. So as he laid his life down on the cross and he was resurrected from a borrowed tomb, that was love on the cross. That was love in manifestation. It was his blood that was being shed, because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. Unless his blood had been shed, we could not have been redeemed. We could not have been reconciled. You see, God so loved us that he had to put his own son to be the sacrificial lamb. In Old Testament times, under the atonement, men would come in every year. The high priest had to come in, because men who represented their tribes would come and they would bring a sacrifice and they would make an atonement for the sins of the people. And that lamb that was slain, or that bullock that was slain, or according to that family's requirements under the law, that blood represented the shedding of blood, the remission of sins. And that blood, the Bible says that blood cried out atonement, that God didn't look at their sins. He looked through the blood. Yes, he looked through the blood. So when he sent Jesus as the final sacrifice, that final lamb, it was because he loved us so much. He looks at us. He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see us the way we are in the flesh. He doesn't. Because if he did, wow, none of us could make it. But thank God for Jesus. He looks at us through the blood of his son. And he says, Faye, you're clean. Faye, you're redeemed. Faye, I love you. Yes, because he sees his son. He sees what his son did for me. And I want you to see what Jesus did for you. He paid that price, that wonderful price. He shed his blood for you to be redeemed, to let you know he's forgiven you. He's cleansed you through his blood. His love is so deep and so wide, it's incomprehensible. Yet, it's experienced by people all over the world, because his love is so steadfast and unmovable. We're going to pick up on scripture today. I wanted to preface this teaching with these words to prepare you to receive this great love that he is, that God is, so that you will no longer feel alone. You will no longer feel rejected. You will no longer feel abandoned, because God's love reaches into the valleys. He reaches to the highest of the heights. He reaches into every walk of life. He knows how to get on the inside of you and bring healing and bring deliverance. He loves us just that much. I want you to experience his love, as I and so many others do, so that you know from this moment forward that you're never walking alone, that he's with you. And he will always be with you. In the book of 1 John, he reads, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Did you hear those words? John is speaking from this place of saying, I am fellowshipping with God today. I have a walking, talking relationship with the one who created the worlds. I know his voice. He's manifesting himself to me. He said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're fellowshipping with the Father. We are fellowshipping with His Son, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is divine relationship. Fellowshipping with the Father and with Jesus Christ is divine relationship. And God seeks such people to fellowship with Him. He is not trying to lock you out. He is not looking for fault in you. He sees us through the blood of Jesus, and He is saying, you are welcome to come in and fellowship with me and sit with me and speak with me, because I want to hear your voice and I want you to learn to hear my voice. In verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The Apostle John is saying, I want you to be filled with joy to the full, to the overflow. That doesn't sound like a depressed person. That doesn't sound like someone who's giving up on life. That doesn't sound like someone who just throwing in the towel to say, you know what, I'm going to give up, cave in and quit. This life is too hard for me. This sounds like somebody who's had an encounter with God, who has had an encounter with the love giver himself, who had an encounter with Him who paid the price on Golgotha's hill. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And I know many preachers will preach, okay, so you're going to go to hell because darkness is in you. When God is in us and He sees us through the blood of Jesus, He's loving on us from that place, and He's saying that in you is no darkness at all. Because I love you, I put myself on the inside of you. So when God sees us, He is really looking back at Himself. Because if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is looking back at you. And He is saying, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my child. You belong to me. Remember, He's the Father who never left home. He's not the deadbeat dad. He's not the one who rejected you. The blood test came in and it was God's blood. And He said, yes, you're my child. And I love you. And I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the gospel. That is the good news. And I'm going to tell you that it will revolutionize your life. I've got to go to break. But don't you dare give up, cave in, and quit. Because I'll be right back with more on Is It True Love? Right here on Intentional.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Is it true love that you're experiencing? When you begin to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and the Savior of your life, that is the beginning of understanding what true love really is. That you will have joy to the full, to the overflow. You will have the peace of God that passes understanding. You will have a heart that's bubbling over into the life of other people. That's what it means to know true love. The Bible says in 1 John that this is the message, that if we have him, if he's in us, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You may be feeling depressed and lonely, but that's because you're not aware of the presence of God. This fellowship that John was talking about, he said, you can have this fellowship. You can have this relationship. God wants you to have a God encounter. He wants you to have a love fest with him. He desires this relationship with you. In verse 7 of 1 John, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're walking in the light because we understand this true love. His love is oozing through us. So we become lighter beings. We are not heavy with the darkness. We're not heavy with depression. We're not heavy with the cares of this world because love lifted me. I remember that song. I think it was my grandmother's church, and they would sing this song. Love lifted me. God's love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Okay? Love lifts. Love edifies. Love encourages. Love builds you up. We read that in 1 Corinthians 13, what love is and what it will do and how it will cover us and how love is not jealous. It's not easily puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Love is not about me, me, my, I. Love is about others because God loved us that he gave his son. So he set an example for us that when we are filled to the full with the overflow of love, and it's called agape love, God's kind of love, God's love, we begin to ooze out or pour out into the lives of those that are around us. People that maybe don't accept us the way that we are, we can still love them back from that place. I have a prayer I want to share with you, and this will help you to really become aware of this power of true love. Whenever you're going through a difficult time, and I know I've been through some things, and you have to. And as you go through those things and you find in yourself thinking, my God, I don't like these people. I don't want to talk to them. And I don't think I forgive them for what they've done to me. And God gave me this prayer, and I want to share it with you. And it's a simple prayer, but I think it is so powerful. It is a deliverance prayer. Father, love them through me with the same love that you love me with. And I've shared that for years and years and years, and now many people have gotten a hold of that. And then, Father, forgive them through me with the same forgiveness that you forgive me with. Because you can go through some difficult times, such horrendous times, and you're thinking, oh, those people were so mean to me and I hurt. And, you know, you're thinking about all the pain that was caused, et cetera, et cetera. But when you allow yourself to pray that prayer, love will lift you. Love will take you out of the funk into this place of elation and gratitude and just full of joy. We are created for his pleasure. We are created as people to have joy. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us. And I want to read this scripture, and then we have a few more passages that I want to share with you today. And he said in verse 8 that if we say that we have no sin, that we're deceiving ourselves. And if we think, okay, there's nothing wrong in my world. He said, you know what? The best thing for you to do is to say, Father, you know, I can't do this without you. I cannot master this forgiveness. I cannot master loving these people. I cannot master learning the art of true love. I need your help. Just acknowledge that you need God. It's easy. It may seem to be hard because religion has preached it as something difficult to master, that you've got to, you know, change your this and that and whatever. You know, that doesn't happen. That doesn't work. What works is just coming to God really as you are and saying, Lord, you know what? I messed up. I am so messed up. I am tore up. I don't know how to fix me. I don't know what to do. Lord God, I can't teach. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't write. I can't do anything. I wouldn't have my own mind if it were not for you, Father. And I need you to come in, to take control, to teach me, to walk with me, and to send people across my path who can mentor and coach me in the things that I need mentoring and coaching in, and I will be a good student. I will be the best mentee that I can be. I will be the best student that I can be, Father. And I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be free and to be cleansed. He says in verse 9 of 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that easy? He said, if we confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you will hear me mention that passage of scripture, I don't know how many times, is one of my favorites. Because I know that all we have to do is open our mouths and say, Father, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I messed up. I got myself in a pickle here, and I don't know how to get myself out, but I know you know how, and I am asking you in the name of Jesus to get me out. Remember, when you say in the name of Jesus, all of heaven recognizes Jesus and sees Jesus, and so does all of hell. The devil knows the name of Jesus. So when you say the name of Jesus, all of hell, all of heaven recognizes the name. So confess your sins. He's faithful and just. That's what true love is. Faithful and just. Can you be faithful? You're looking for a faithful man or faithful woman. But here is God saying, I'm faithful. I'm just. I'm not going to judge you based on where you've been. I see you through the blood of my son. And I embrace you for who he is and what he has done on the cross. God will never forget what Jesus did. And Jesus will never forget what he did on Calvary's cross for you and for me and for your family and for all of those people who are hating on you, or that love that you feel was lost, or you wishing that you hadn't left, or he hadn't left, or it didn't happen that way. God does not forget what happened on Golgotha's hill. He does not forget what he sent his son here to do for us. So he's faithful. He's a faithful father. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, indeed he is. So in spite of what you think you've done, in spite of where you think you've been, God said, I forgive you. Easy, easy. It's not a difficult task for the father to forgive his child. You're his child and he loves you and he has not forgotten about you. Maybe you have strayed so far away. You don't even know where you're, I don't know. You don't even know how to approach God. But I want to encourage you today. Just open your mouth and say, Father, here I am. Talk to him like you talk to him. Talk to him like you're talking to your best friend, because he speaks that way. And I know in King James, we read the Elizabethan English, but you know, God's not speaking to me in Elizabethan. I don't even like to read that much. But I can tell you this, God speaks to us where we are in our own language. And if you want to go, hey, God, he's going to say, hey, you, he's going to talk to you the way you talk to him. So don't worry. Don't let those things block you from building this wonderful relationship with our Creator God, the Almighty, powerful God. Allow yourself to build this relationship from the inside out. He wants to coach you, mentor you, bless your life to the full, to the overflow, heal your broken heart, bind your wounds, and set you free. That's what love will do. I'm telling you. There are books that have been written that can inspire us. There are stories that have been told that will motivate, encourage, and bring us hope. But I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do in this world to compare with what God will do for you if you will just allow him to come in and take complete control. That's what he wants to do. He wants to give you a hope in a future, make you happy. So confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. And you don't have to wait to church on Sunday mornings. You can do this all along, you and God. You can be driving down the road. You can be in your bedroom, be wherever you are. That's where he is. And when he comes in and takes control, he will do as much as we will allow him to do. He will have as much control as we will allow him to. He's not going to demand that you let him take control. That's not him. That's not the character of God. It may be the character of some preachers, but it's not the character of God to try to force you to fit. That's not him. He will open his heart up and open the doors up and say, come on in, kid. Come on, sit, talk with me, fellowship with me. I'm love, and love has no need to force itself on anyone. Love is just because he is. In 1 John chapter 2, I want us to take a look at that one. And this one we read in our first message on true love. Wow, this is so awesome. I'm so glad you're here. He says in chapter 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, another one of my favorites, remember we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, that, again, if we confess our sins, we have him. Don't say that we don't sin, because we do. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world, not just for your local church, not for your group, not for your clique. He died for everybody. Everybody, regardless of your political beliefs, regardless of where you come from, Jesus died on that cross for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his words. I like to use the word instead of commandments, because I know that Jesus has fulfilled that in the commandment of love. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, and he that said he abided in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. I know that's a lot of oughts and him. But if we receive him, then he said, the love of God will abide in you. I don't have to worry about love leaving me. Hello, somebody. Amen, church. I don't have to worry about love leaving me, because as long as I receive him, then he is the word. He is the word. So therefore, I have received love, and love is abiding in me. Love is manifesting through me. Love is leading, guiding, and directing me. I'm not afraid of the things that go bump in the night, because love covers a multitude of sins, and love also casts out fear. Perfect love, yes, casts out fear, but it also casts out every other demon. Everybody who's walking in fear is not being made perfect in love, because love casts out fear. So while we spend so much time looking for true love, he's written it right here, or he's allowed men to be inspired to write it here to say, you know, once you receive me and you build this fellowship through relationship, you build this relationship through fellowship with me, you will no longer feel as though you're lacking anything. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you the truth. You will no longer feel as though you're lacking anything once you build this relationship with the master of love. God is love. The author continues to write, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So he says, you cannot say that you are walking in love and you're hating someone. You see, the same love that God has for us is loving through us. So there's not a separate love, an individual love for this person over that person. He said, because if you're not loving, then what are you doing? Well, we know the opposite of love. So if God is not manifesting love through us, that other being, Satan, is manifesting hate. You see, love does not pick and choose. Does that make sense, or does that make sense? Yes, yes, and yes. Love does not pick and choose. Love loves always. Love loves everyone all the time. There is no time where love is not loving. So if we say that we are loving and yet we are picking and choosing people we love, organizations we love, you know, groups of people we love, then he said, you know what? That's not truth. That's not truth. So if it's not truth, it's not true love being manifested. You're listening to Intentional. I've got to go to break, but I'll be right back after this message.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
As we continue our teaching on true love, is it true love? I want us to take a look at 1 John, the third chapter, which begins this way. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Wow! What level, what manner of love do we have that we are called the seed? The son represents the seed, the word. What manner of love, this awesomeness, awesome experience that we have to be called the children of God because of his love. He drew us into himself through redemption and reconciliation. We have now been brought back and bought back. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are now the children of God. What were we before? We were heathens. We were wicked. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. We didn't have this relationship with the Creator. We went through dark ages in humanity where there was nobody even speaking of the commandments, nobody speaking of God, nobody calling on God. Oh, can you imagine a world where no one is calling on the name of God? Oh, brother. I'm glad I wasn't there because I know where my help comes from, and I know it is he who brings me through and, you know, watches over me at night, you know, when we're all in a death state because we don't know what's going on around us while we're asleep. But it is God who watches over us and protects us. I get real excited about that, and I guess you can probably tell, but that's okay. It's okay. We have to be passionate about something, and I may as well be passionate about God. So behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called these sons of God, these daughters of God, these children of God. But therefore, the world doesn't know us and doesn't know him. It can't build a relationship with people outside of that space, really. But you can love people and allow him to love, because with loving kindness, he drew us. It's so easy to judge people. I need to do an entire series on that. It's so easy to judge people, to tell people, other people, you know what? You're not as good as I am. We may not say it. We may not say it out loud, but we think it. We think that we're better. We think that we have this spirit of entitlement, that we deserve the front seat. We deserve the spotlight because of our credentials or because of our network or net worth. We think that we do, but perfect love doesn't behave that way. Perfect love looks through the lenses and say, you know what? We're all in the same boat. We're all here together. And as far as I know, there's a system in place where we all come through the womb. And I don't care what the sexual robots are saying, what that does. That's a whole nother show for, you know. And regardless of that, we all came through the womb and we will all leave these bodies. And our exit place, how we exit, a lot of that is determined. Well, how we exit, definitely how we live our lives. We can leave in a healthy body and we can leave in a sick body. That's true either way. But where we go, the point is where we go once we exit, we have to have a peace about that. And I know many people think, well, no, there's no such thing as heaven or hell. You know what? I'm not a gambling woman, but I can tell you this. I'd rather stand on the heaven side than to risk the hell. I've got enough wherewithal to know that I would rather take a chance on my God than not. So I trust him with my life. Beloved, I love the word beloved in the Bible because it tells me be is a verb, and love, you know, that force of God, that we be loved, it's an action. We are being loved by God, and many of us are not even aware of the presence of love all around us, and he is so here with us. He's here with you, there with you, right there, wherever you are in the world. Love is right there with you. So he says, being loved, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Back to that, the seeds of God, the children of God, that he has given us his love. He said, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I understand that many times that's taken into a futuristic event, but I understand also that when he appears inside of us, we will see that we are just like him. We will see how awesome he is, how wonderful he is. We will see this amazing grace man manifesting through us. And that comes through fellowshipping with him, building the relationship. And, you know, let me tell you this, and I know I say these words and I have to stop for a moment to realize that maybe you have the question, how do I fellowship with God? How do I get to the place that I'm actually fellowshipping with God? I always teach people this. You know what? The first things first, just begin to talk. Talk to God. Begin to talk to God. Get a Bible, listen to an audible Bible. Just begin to allow yourself to be fed spiritually. And before you know it, you'll begin to feel the shifts taking place in your own life. It's really interesting how it happens. I can't really explain it, but I know that the more you read the Bible, it starts reading you. You begin to feel the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing your steps. The things that you used to do, you don't even have a desire to do them. No one is standing over you preaching hellfire and brimstone saying, if you don't put those cigarettes down, you're going to hell. If you don't, you know, nobody has to tell you that. You just read the Bible, have your prayer time with God, and he'll do the rest. This is our creator, folks. This is the one you call the higher power or whatever. It's God. This is our creator. He's the one who created the sun, the moon, the stars. Shoo, he created it all. He causes the wind to blow, to cease, to do whatever. I believe that. I really know that to be true. That's for real. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He says, and every man that has this hope in himself is purifying himself, because we're dealing with love here. We're dealing with true love. True love. And in verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So here we have this relationship with God. We know that we can repent. We can ask him to forgive us. And remember what I said, repentance is. Repentance is not turning away from sin. Repentance is turning to God. Yeah. And sin has no place to go, right? So repentance is turning to God. So when we turn to God, yes, yes, and yes, then sin doesn't have dominion over us. It doesn't have control over us, because we are walking with the flow of the wind rather than against the wind. Amen. So my children, my little children, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not dictate to, not decide that who we love and who we don't want to love and who's hot and who's not, but that we should allow love to flow through us to everyone, to everyone. Now, listen, honestly, I do not agree with everybody. I do not celebrate everything, but I do know this, that my heart condition doesn't change through love, because of love. And when we get to the place that we can still love, and even when we have to deal with difficult people, and we have to we have challenges, whether even if those difficult people are in your bedroom or in your home, we have to deal with difficult people, we can still develop the habit of learning to live from that place of true love. That, wow, bask in it. Allow him to take complete control. For this is love. This is love, that we love one another. And then the writer goes on to say, not like Cain, who killed his brother because he was jealous, not looking to get people back, not looking to destroy somebody, or even, and I know of Christians who decided to pray negative prayers. And I thought, no, those are psychic bewitching prayers. We bind that, rebuke that in Jesus' name. We're not having that. We're not having your prayers be negative over my life, or your negative words influencing my life. So that's another reason you want to pray, because other people pray, may not be praying in favor of you. You build yourself up in your faith by praying, allowing the Holy Spirit to give you the words. If you don't know the words, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray through you the perfect will of the Father. So we are the sons and daughters of God. And here we have this wonderful true love resident on the inside of us. Love that will never leave us, will never forsake us, will never abandon us, is not trying to destroy us. God did not destroy people through the hurricane. He did not destroy people through the flood or the fire. That's not his nature. He is looking to heal and to deliver, to bring us out of the fire and through the fire, and love us to the place that we can allow him to flow through us and love the people around us. Verse 14 said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Wow, that's a test. Do you love the brethren? Who are the brethren? Well, you know what? Whoever is in your circle, whoever is in your space. Do not allow the media or other people's influence to dictate to you how you should feel about other people. Allow God's presence to be your guide. He said, you will know that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. You're going to take care of people. That just doesn't mean brothers, men, male. It means people, that you love people. And regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do, you are still coming from a loving place. You know, and I know people like that. And I mean, there's people I respect so much because I see them walking and loving from a loving place. And people are not always loving toward them, but I see them doing that. And I think, oh, my Lord, I want to grow up to be like that. Loving from a loving place all of the time, regardless of what people say or do, you're still coming from the place of love. We all know that not everybody is celebrating your accomplishments. Not everybody is celebrating your coming of age. Not everyone is celebrating what your life, but God is. And He's wanting you to know that you can develop this art of true love and not be in such a rut of always going in and out of relationships, you know, like a call girl, just going in and out of these relationships, like, you know, just struggling so much because you are looking for love. Isn't that interesting? You've spent the last two decades looking for love, and it was always there, right on the inside, saying, hello, I'm here, knock, knock, open the door, ask and you will receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door shall be open. Women who give birth to children, who have a place of love in their heart, and it is often said that the closest thing to God's love is a mother's love. And I cannot attest to that. I can just simply say I can understand it to a point, because women carry these babies for months. And when they do deliver, that's a part of their body that was attached to them all of that time. And when they have the opportunity to hold that child is them looking back at them. So I see the relationship there. I see the parallels, how we can associate the two, or put the how that runs parallel with the love of God, because God, through the blood of Jesus, He has given birth to us. We've been born again. So He's given birth to us. And now when He looks at us, He's looking at us through the blood of Jesus. So we are created in His image, and we're looking back at Him spiritually, looking back at Him. And He can say, well, that's my child. That's my daughter. That's my son. Wow. Awesome. That He is saying, I've gave birth to you, and I'm not throwing you back because you're acting up, because you're not doing what I need you to do. But I know you're growing up. The mother can't just say, okay, I'm going to throw this baby back in the womb. Cook a do-over, you know, put it back in. Let's do this over. I don't like the way this kid looks. I want to put it back. It doesn't happen that way. You have to work with what you got. You got to keep what was delivered and work with it. And thank God he works with us and speaks to us and teaches us and leads us and guides us if we are open to Him. He wants to do us good and make us happy. He wants to bless your life. He wants to give you something you've never had before, a joy to the full, to the overflow. With all of the reading you may do and all of the conferences and material that you may have in your life, I'm telling you, there is nothing that can ever fill you like the presence of the Most High God in your life. He will revolutionize your life every day if you'll let Him. Moment by moment, here a little, there a little, He will cause major shifts, and you will know that you pass from death unto life, because you love the brethren. Final two verses. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here is an opportunity for us who are born again and who desire to be born again because of this love. And being born again is a powerful, powerful experience. And if you never had it, all you have to do is just say, Lord, take me, do in me whatever you want to do. I don't believe that there are special words. All I know is that if you confess your sins, you talk to Him. tell him. It's not like God is not aware. So just talk to him. And if you open up and have a conversation with God, he will have a conversation with you. I can guarantee you that. It's when people tell me, well, I've been praying and I haven't been heard and hearing anything. I just think, I don't know how you're listening, because we're talking God here. And he has a word for you. He has a message for you. He has a purpose for your life. He is true love. And he wants to show you just how much he really loves you. He wants to embrace you in a way you've never been embraced. And he wants to hold you close to him. The Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. He wants to do you so good that you can give nobody else the credit. Nobody else the glory. You know, everything else in this world is temporal. Things are so temporal. They're temporary. But the only thing that's eternal is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The money you can't take with you. And if whatever you do for money, it won't last. The reputations, they won't matter. But what will matter is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and making sure that's solid. Let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every listener today. I thank you for the people, Father God, that you have planted in this atmosphere. I thank you, Lord God, that there are men and women who are rethinking this thing called God, rethinking this thing called true love, rethinking this thing called developing a relationship with you. And I thank you, Father, that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you're building us up, and you're creating in us a clean heart and renewing within us a right spirit. I thank you, Father, for speaking to the hearts and minds of men and women all over the world, that you will revolutionize our thinking, and we will begin to realize, Lord, just how much you really love us, more than we could ever love ourselves. And thank you, God, for helping us to forgive as you forgive us and love as you love us. Amen. I want to thank you for listening today to my voice here on Intentional. And I'll be back every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me during the week for Energy Bar. We're on the air at 11 a.m. and you will be blessed by that show as well. And then on Saturdays, listen to Energy to Miracles. I'm so excited about that show. And if you or someone you know, you have experienced a documented miracle, don't forget to contact me right here, Dr. Faye at America Out Loud. Join us again for another Intentional. God bless you.